Spiritual Life Center.
We greet you in the name of all that is good, all that is sacred, and in the warm and loving energy of this community, Spiritual Life Center. If you're joining us for the first time, we especially want to welcome you because we know that you are not here by accident. You're here by divine appointment. Thank you for joining us on your unique path today, and we hope you enjoy this special message from this past Sunday's service.
When we hear those words, Christ be our light, and let that light shine in each soul on earth today, we're reminded that there are great moments in the history of the world when a prophet or an avatar appears with a great cosmic insight, and that avatar is able to impart it to people with a persuasive power and a beauty. There are great moments in the lives of individuals when they come face to face to such an insight, when it becomes clear and convincing to them. But such an insight in truth must not only be spoken, but to have authority, to have gravitas, it must be lived by the person who utters it. And then it becomes a transforming power in the daily lives of the people who work with it. Just as a figure was a man we call Jesus the Christ. He had a transcendent message he brought to the world. It's what we can call, you know, that new revelation of truth, although it wasn't new, it was new to those folks at the time. And remind ourselves from time to time, because it bears repeating, that the Christ is not Jesus' last name. It is that part of God within each and every one of us. It is also within you and me. It's not something that is expressed through any particular religion. It is a principle that transcends all religious traditions. And during these holiday season, it seems to rise, the tide seems to raise up the consciousness. As people observe Hanukkah and others observe the festival of the breaking of the fast in the Muslim tradition, or still others practice Kwanzaa in the African American community, and all of us who follow the teachings of Jesus, we celebrate this principle called the Christ during this season. And the celebration serves as a reminder of our possibilities. And the master teacher, Jesus, was a model of those possibilities. He shined through that Christ like few have done before or since him, in my view. But he also reminded us of this key phrase. Everything he's done, we can do that and more. We can do that and more. You know, as I'm thinking about the great master, I'm reminded of a story that I hear from time to time during this time of the year as we get closer to Christmas. And it's about the time that children were in a Sunday school. And the Sunday school teacher decided to ask everybody in the class, where is Jesus in their life? And one little girl raised her hand and said, oh, Jesus is in my heart. Whenever I'm loving, Jesus is with me. And the teacher was very pleased to hear that and turned to the second little boy, a little boy in the class, and asked, well, where is Jesus for you? And said, well, Jesus shows up when I'm giving and when I'm helping other people. And of course, the teacher was very pleased to hear this answer as well. And then the teacher went to the third person in the class as a little boy, and you may know him. He was little Johnny. And when he asked little Johnny, well, where is Jesus in your house or in your life? And the little boy, Johnny, said to the teacher, well, Jesus is in my bathroom. And of course, the teacher was somewhat baffled by this question, by his answer. He said, what do you mean, Jesus is in your bathroom? He said, yeah, because every time my sister is in the bathroom, my father comes knocking on the door and he says, Jesus Christ, are you still in there? Well, understand that Jesus exemplified the Christ principle and the reason for the season. And when we're in alignment with that principle, we move into the topic of the day of transcending tradition and experiencing the reason for the season. It's important to know that Jesus taught a universal truth. Now, his followers made it into a Christian religion. You know, as an aside, you know, this is just me talking. I have to believe that if Jesus were here today, he would probably be a leader of a religion without ritual. He would have spirituality without ecclesiasticism. He might well view all of these churches and communities that are started in his name with all of their dogma and form and ceremony and ritual as somewhat strange to him. He might even say, you know, maybe we should just start all over. Just a thought. Nevertheless, this month, the month of December, as we enter Advent, on a collective level, and maybe even more so because of the challenges that we're facing today with the pandemic, the political polarization, as well as all the other divides we witness around the world, it's an opportunity for people to move into the consciousness in which forgiveness and love and generosity and well-being becomes more of the order of the day. There seems to be more of a longing for this, whether people know it or not. And it's a wonderful thing, this what I call high tide of human consciousness, that seems to be evolving despite of or because of the crises that we face. It's rising up to this eternal gift, the gift of the eternal. It is the gift that keeps on giving. And we're always touching upon this theme in some way, shape, or form. We're touching upon this awareness that there is a great power, a presence all of us are representing, particularly when we are awake, when we're conscious. We realize there's a light, there's a love, there's a joy, there's a power, there's something not bound by time at all. It is eternal. It is a gift of itself. And as each and every one of us, we come to places like this or tune into programs like this to practice the principles of truth, to be reminded of these principles in order to release this dynamic energy, to release this poise, to release this confidence, to release this peace, to release this resurrecting power that we all have, that our life not be lived in vain. That's why we do it. That our life may be lived according to a sacred divine pattern and the particular reason why we've chosen this particular incarnation at this particular time in history. Now, I talked to some people, they said, no, they didn't really sign up for this. But yes, we did. We might want to try to get out of it, but no, we came here for this purpose and for this particular time. And regardless of our focus, regardless of our cultural background, regardless of our experience, regardless how we worship, or as we like to say, how we celebrate, this presence is celebrated by us. And the outer symbology may not be the same, but the inner meaning, no matter what our path is the same. It's about connecting to that spiritual essence we all are. I was reading something by the Dalai Lama, and he said, our shared mission, should we choose to accept it, is to find common ground among the spiritual paths and bridge the needless divides at a time when unified action is more crucial than ever. We must embrace the oneness of humanity as we face the challenges of our day. Now, to get there, we must come from our common essence. And this common essence is known by many names. Today, we call it the Christ. Others may call it the Atman presence, the Buddhic mind. Some call it the inner divinity. I like to call it the force. The outer ceremony and the language may not be the same, but the inner meaning is identical. The gift of this eternal presence is the message that we want to get to. And for us to get there, we must recognize its transcendent yet immediate presence. In other words, it's around us, but also within us. It is beyond denomination. It is beyond ceremony. It is beyond tradition. And I don't put tradition or ceremony down. You know, even here at Spiritual Life Center, we have wonderful ceremonies upcoming as our candlelight service and other programs, although it's going to be virtual this year. We have the burning bowl ceremony, which is my favorite ceremony of all. All of these ceremonies are ways to speak to the unconscious that words cannot reach. But like myself, many of you may be refugees from traditions that have lost their flavor. And they have fled from tradition in order to find a way and means and method for our life to be a moment-by-moment celebration of our real nature and our being. So we go beyond tradition, so we can cultivate the ability to develop the impulse to be more ourselves, our true selves. And you may be asking, you know, how in the heck do we do this? As I like to say, there's no definitive, you know, step one, step two, step three process. I like to believe that all these how-tos that we get spiritually, mostly they're made up. Our attention must be on mostly the Christ presence, that God presence, because the presence of God will come through us, articulate itself through us fluently and in ways that we will understand when we make that connection. But I'll present, you know, some ideas because this is practical spirituality. So we look for some roadmap, some techniques that we can use. But all of those things, all they do is keep our ego busy until the whole Spirit of God takes over our life. So Jesus and other avatars have given us some wonderful guidelines to follow. All of these teachers taught universal truth, and they put a great deal of emphasis on our inner life, not necessarily the outside symbols, because they know the great law of hermetics that says, as within, so without. Understanding that thoughts that roll through our awareness and that stick have a tendency to become our perception, have a tendency to become our attitude, have a tendency to become our emotions, and they in turn determine our experience, our lot in life, the amount of good that pours forth through us. It is the inner thoughts and beliefs, not the external circumstances and situations, that are important. So this high holy season, we have the opportunity to set a tone, to set that inner thought process by setting an intention, and creating an interest for ourselves, for the good of God and for each other. Intention is important. You know, recently I was running across a story about a young man. He had emigrated from Haiti, and his name is Alex. And Alex and his family, they didn't have very much. But when Alex was growing up in Port-au-Prince, Haiti, he remembers watching troops from the United States performing humanitarian missions in his native Haiti. You know, they had had a number of earthquakes and other disasters during that time. And he was touched by this. This really moved him. And in that moment, he had the vision of going to West Point Academy and then doing something similar to others that those soldiers had done for him. And if you looked at his life experience from afar, it looked impossible. He had little money to go to schools that would prepare him for such a rigorous education as West Point had. He didn't come from what we would call the right background. And from all objective perspectives, the odds were against him. But he held that vision. And to make a long story short, he worked his way to the point that he got in one of the most prestigious military schools after he came to the United States. He earned his citizenship, and he served a number of years as a National Guardsman. But what stood out about him when I first came across the story was the picture. The picture with his name under it, Second Lieutenant Alex Idrachi. He stood at attention. He was at his commencement ceremony at West Point in New York. And he was overcome with tremendous emotion. Tears had rolled down both of his cheeks. His gloved hand was holding firm to his black cover, which they call, I guess, the hats, the headgear that they wear, that the cadets, you know, walk around in their formal uniform. And I could look at him and tell that at that moment, everything was pouring out of him because he held on to an intention that was bigger than what he was, an intention that helped others. And that intention manifested in his life. It was very moving just to look at the picture. I say that because intention is a decision of releasing life energy. And when we establish an intention from our soul, from our heart, and we make that inner pact with ourselves, we release that life energy as well. And this life energy allows what we intend to manifest. And it doesn't matter the circumstances or the situation. It doesn't matter what our history is. It doesn't matter what has happened to us or how we were born or who we were born to. Regardless of all of that, when we have established a whole soul intention to be here for the presence and the power and the love of God more than anything else, we become available to the inspired thoughts of Spirit. Those inspired thoughts that proliferate this universe till we are one with it. We are embodying that. And know that which sticks, know that which congeals as emotion and perception has the tendency to reveal that which we have intended to happen. You know, Jesus set his intention for his life to have the mind of the Christ presence. To have that mind inundate his whole being. And as a result, that is what he became. You know, often people move through life catching the highly charged thought forms and emotions that move through the human experience, the low vibration stuff. They don't have an opinion of their own that comes from the Spirit of living God. They have no thoughts that really originate from this presence. They end up parroting the human experience, and they wonder why life does not reveal the dynamic good that is promised. But we understand that people who live extraordinary lives, no matter who they are, it could be Jesus the Christ, it could be, any great person in history, someone that you know that does extraordinary things around you that no one knows about. They're ordinary people, but what they do have are extraordinary thought practices. And we are here to expand our perception. We're here to expand our point of view. And oftentimes this requires a slight shift in our own perception. You know, Jesus had that intention to move away from how life around him was showing up. And he set his intention when he said, "I came that they may have life and have it more abundantly." We can set the same kind of intention for ourselves. Because we are here to establish an intention to realize our oneness with God, to realize our oneness with divine peace, to set an intention to to have divine love and pure joy and bliss and wisdom and all the qualities that have nothing to do with whatever is going on around us. We can tap into that, and we do tap into that when we are in this season. These qualities are transcendent, as I said, yet immediate. They're always available. And we can throw ourselves open and make ourselves available to them when we establish our own intention, when we make a decision to choose to release ourselves to this presence. And when we do, we are anchoring ourselves in the will of God, which is a greater expression of pure spirit. You know, when we hear the seasonal songs, the Christmas songs, there's something that begins to activate something within our spirit. It's part of our DNA. It begins to set forth our own intentions that are really there for us. And when we begin to live those intentions, they become the rudder that leads and guides and directs us through our life. There is intention, and of course, similarly, there is interest. Interest is what keeps us pure. In other words, we can ask ourselves throughout the course of the day, what am I really interested in this moment? You know, one of the things we can do is just have an alarm on our phone and just have it go off every couple of hours just to capture what's in our mind. What are we focusing on? What are we interested in? And if we are awake, we will sometimes recognize there's maybe sometimes an inner war going on between the unspiritualized ego. I call it unspiritualized because everyone has to have an ego to live, but we want to spiritualize it. And sometimes we have the unspiritualized ego running us. And maybe there's a war between the unspiritualized ego and the spirit and the surface mind. And the surface mind will want what it wants when it wants it. But the deeper dimension of our soul will want more to reveal itself. And when what it wants to reveal is more of that Christ presence, more of this Atman energy, more of this spiritual God presence. So if you ask yourself, what am I interested in this moment? We can check ourselves and determine if this moment, am I interested in love? Am I interested in kindness? Am I interested in compassion? Am I interested in generosity? Am I interested in beauty? Am I interested in being more my real self, which is this Christ presence? This is what the high holy days of the season is about. It's about that as opposed to being interested in being right. You may know people like that. They want to be right. They want to be understood rather than seeking to understand or trying to make their point, trying to prove their point or my point or your point. This time of the year or any time for that matter, we want to check our interest and keep it pure and ask, is my intention here for the presence of God? Or am I interested in getting an ego need met? Or getting what I want in this particular moment, thus moving into the human experience that's fraught with worry, that's fraught with doubt, that's fraught with fear, that's fraught with lack and limitation, and we'll see a lot of evidence to support that. But when our intention is on the qualities of the divine, which is the reason for this high holy day season, our interest is pure. It becomes our anchor. It becomes our rudder. And what's wonderful about this, when we make this our anchor, when we make this the ground of our being, we may think thousands of thoughts a day, thoughts that just roll through our awareness, thoughts that just seem to move from the news or the internet or from some past conversations that we've had that are not serving us, or maybe some old patterns will seem to well up. Sometimes we have a little fear or a little doubt around that. And we may say to ourselves, if thought is creative, which it is, and it produces itself after its own kind, is this going to show up as my life? All of this crazy thought that I have, that's moving through my awareness? Is it going to manifest? Is it going to happen to me? Now, if you're honest, you probably may think that at some times, but of course I do at times. Let me just speak for myself. I can't speak for you. But of course, the answer is no. What has the tendency to stick and congeal itself as our perception, as our emotion, and ultimately our experience is that which we are predominantly interested in throughout the day. If we train ourselves to be interested in the will of God, if we train ourselves to be interested in that which is spiritual, doing our meditation, reading our books, affirming our prayers, if we're interested in the transcendent qualities of the force, if that becomes important to us, and we keep checking ourselves throughout the day to make sure that we're on course, and we seek to get back on track by asking, what am I interested in right now? And we continue to put our attention on the inspired qualities of the Spirit of the living God, on the Christ presence, we will understand what Jesus the Christ meant when he said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And that simply means when we're interested in harmony with the wholeness of God, we shall see the presence of God. And that is not a person, it's not a man or a woman, it is a principle, it is a force, it is the Christ that is manifesting as those qualities. And we will see that through our interest and through our intention, where we're focusing our thoughts, that's what will stick as our attitude. That's what will stick as our emotion. And that's what will stick as our life. And our world will be transformed by the renewing of our individual and our collective mindset. I say that's what the Holy Days are about. It's about an awakened consciousness. That's what the Spirit of Living God is inviting us to celebrate. To celebrate the Christ presence. To celebrate our divinity. To celebrate the Shekinah of the soul like never before. By claiming this as our life, we will get this gift of the eternal. It is the gift of the holy season. It is the grace of God that we can't make happen, but through practice, through our spiritual intention to be here for the presence of God more than anything else, we eliminate the obstacles. We eliminate the sense of separation. So this divine flow can continue to happen over and over and over again. We're reminded that of each season that comes around this time of the year. We're reminded that we are here to be part of that divine flow. It is a flow that transcends any tradition or anything we humanly have created. It is the truth of our being. And from that truth, we realize the reason for the season. And as we do realize that, we too shall sing, Christ be our light. Shine in our hearts. Shine through the darkness. Shine in each soul today. Peace and blessings to you.
We are grateful for the opportunity to share with you today and hope you've taken something from this Sunday's message. If you'd like to hear more from Spiritual Life Center, be sure to click subscribe on the podcast platform you're listening from. You can find out more about our community on our website at www.slcworld.org. We look forward to being a part of your continued spiritual journey. Wherever you are, God is, and all is well.
Spiritual Life Center.